Philippians chapter 3, Paul writing out of prison. Now, he's writing a letter out of prison. And now, you know, you guys know I've worked in prisons for a long time.
Well,
and I read some of the letters that people write. They don't never sound like this.
Well,
finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous.
Come on now.
But for you, it is safe.
Well,
beware of dogs.
Well,
beware of evil workers. Mm-hmm. Beware of the concision.
Well,
for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit.
Well,
and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
Well,
yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. In the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God.
Yes.
Thank you for just reading it. It is powerful.
Well,
we ask right now that you would just place the word of God in our hearts.
Yes.
And in our minds. Father God, give us a made up mind. Give us the power of the resurrection so that when we leave this place, folks would not have to see a fish on our car or a cross around our neck, but know that we've been with Jesus.
Well,
that we have been with Jesus. Father, thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. I wouldn't plan on reading that much. You know, but it's a good word. It's a good word. And we're talking about making the church great again and want to have one of the greatest churches of all time. I come up with the acronym GOAT. You hear people say, what is a GOAT? Michael Jordan's a GOAT. Wow. I said, Michael Jordan's a GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. Wow. Serena won the Australian Open yesterday or Saturday, and they say she's a GOAT. She's the greatest of all time. And, wow. And Tom Brady got the Super Bowl coming up, and they say, well, he's the greatest of all time. GOATs. When I think about the Philippian church, I think about a church.
Wow.
That Paul believed. I really believe Paul, when he talked about all the churches Paul planted, I believe he loved the Philippian church more than any church he planted. Amen. I believe if Paul was to speak to us today, he said, you know what? I loved all the churches. I loved the first church at Ephesus. I loved the church of Colossae. I loved the church of Thessalonica. But I had to sum them all up. And I can say this based on what he wrote about the Philippian church. Philippian church was his greatest of all time. So when we get to the Philippian church, we see he starts off, he said, finally. And he says, finally, he puts finally there, just sort of to remind them. This is one church he never condemned. He never went to the Philippian church like he had to go to the carnal Corinthian church. And every chapter, First Corinthians, every chapter, he's calling them out. They doing something wrong. They done messed up the communion. They got a man sleeping with his father's wife. And they over here taking each other to court. And they all through it. They got tongues all mixed up and everything. And he's trying to get this church on the right track. He ain't had to do that with the Philippian church. No, not with the Philippian church. He said, you know what? Y'all doing a good job over there. But I want you to remind you to stay on course. And to do that, there's lessons for us.
Well,
there's lessons for the church today. If we want to be that church, if we want to be the church where the word of God is being preached and folks' lives are being saved and delivered, I listen. I've been listening to folks. I see when they come in to Sunday school and they come to Bible study, they got questions and concerns and they got love for one another, and that's important.
Well,
we don't know. God is doing in our lives with folks that see us. I see Columbus and going out and telling his loved ones, come to church, come visit church. And that's a beautiful thing. Amen. Because I believe Columbus believed the word of God is being preached here.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Well,
you know, some folks invite you to their church because it's entertainment. Oh, come on over here. You know, we have a good time over here. Folks get slain in the spirit. You know, folks falling out. We running around. We don't, you know, folks need to hear word. Okay, you want to go work out? Let's go to the gym. Okay, I mean if you want a good hamburger, you go to Five Guys. If you want a good hamburger,
come on now.
Okay, if you're looking for a carburetor or a starter for your truck, you go to AutoZone.
Come on.
If you're looking to hear the word of God, you ought to come to church. Okay? See, if you're sick, you need a doctor, you go to the hospital.
Amen.
But when you want to hear from God, you can't hear from God. All that noise and mess.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Paul was a rising star. Paul was a superstar among the Pharisees. He was a superstar. You know, he was arrogant. He was hateful. He was unaccountable. Paul hated Christianity.
Come on now.
And he boasted about it. He says in Acts 22:4, talking about giving his testimony, he said, and I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering unto prisons both men and women. Now, why would he have to add men and women?
He didn't discriminate.
I mean, you said you love the Lord, Paul was taking you out. You said that Jesus died for the sins of the world, Paul was taking you out. And listen to what he says here. Here's what he said, Acts 26:11. And I verily thought within myself, that's dangerous stuff, that I ought to do so many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You know what Paul needed? He needed what he ended up preaching. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. all things. Behold, all things have become new. Paul was preaching from what he had experienced, what the grace of God had done to him.
Amen.
See, some folks, you know, when I found grace, you know, I gave my life to the Lord. I really became saved. You know, a lot of folks would say they saved before grace. You can't be saved before grace. Okay? For by grace are you saved. You know, folks, well, you know, I've been in the church serving all these years, and you know, when I found grace, I amped it up, no? When you found grace, you got saved.
Amen.
All them other years you wasn't saved.
Come on.
You can't be saved without grace.
Come on.
See, we talked about that this morning. Before by grace, are you saved? Paul needed grace, and he's talking grace.
Come on.
Talking
now.
Grace. I like 1 Timothy. I'm gonna get to the lesson. Paul doing all this disastrous stuff. He just hurting folks and killing folks and throwing folks in jail. Then he said, I thank God. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who have enabled me, for that he counted me faithful.
Come on.
Putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace, here's our word, of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. Well, so Paul used two big old words to explain to you guys what he needed.
Wow.
Okay? He needed exceedingly and abundant grace.
Come on, man.
With faith and love in Jesus Christ. Paul practiced what he preached.
Amen.
Paul practiced what he preached. But when you talk about the Philippian church, it was a church of joy. We talking about the great joy, the joy of a great church. You ought to be happy. Anybody wake up this morning just happy? Woke up. Oh.
Hallelujah.
It's Sunday. Time to praise him. Had your clothes already out, ready to go. Knew what cologne you was going to wear. I mean, knew what shower gel you was going to use. You okay? Ready to go. Just sitting there tapping your feet. Come on, Lori. Come on, Lori. Let's go. It's time to go to God's house.
Yes, it is. Well.
Ready to go today.
Come on.
Amen.
See? A great church. Okay? A great church rejoices. Rejoices in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, see, in verse 1 he said, finally, my brethren, people of God. See, people of God. See, and listen, let me tell you something. You know, I tell somebody, they ain't child of God. Because the word of God ain't sweet to them. The word of God ain't sweet to them. They ain't nothing to care less. I can text all the way through hearing the word of God. Now, why you can do that? Now, why you can sit all the way in the back and not pay attention to nothing? Because God ain't done nothing.
Amen.
You can't tell me that when you hear amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, it don't move you. I don't care who's singing it.
Wow.
It don't move you. It don't resonate in you. And if it don't, it's because grace ain't important to you. God's grace ain't amazing. You still a wretched man or woman. But when I hear amazing grace, it just immediately makes me think of who I was.
Amen.
Before God's amazing grace came into my life.
Amen.
See what Paul is saying here. He said to write the same things to you, to me indeed. That strong word, indeed, is not grievous. I'm not troubled by it. See, and listen, let me tell you something. You talk to these old folks in here.
Right.
You want to talk to the old folks in here that have been through something. That then God then pulled them out of the muck in the mire. They didn't lift them out of the pit in the miry clay. They didn't deliver them from drugs and alcohol and adultery and fornication, homosexuality. They didn't been delivered from something. Now when they hear amazing grace, it's amazing. See, somebody is still in their sin, then the things of God ain't sweet to them. Amazing grace. Oh, that's tired. That's tired. You know, let me tell you something. Blessed assurance. I remember coming up in the church, you know, oh, somebody in the church, some young person wanted to sing the eyes on the sparrow. Somebody, his eye is on the sparrow. Who gets tired? You can preach to me every day about the woman with the issue of blood because it relates to my issues.
Yeah.
You can preach to me. I don't care how many times I heard people preach the prodigal son 100 times. You know what? It's still sweet to me because I know I was prodigal. I'm right there. You can preach to me all day and night about the thief on the cross because I know it was me that said, Lord, remember me. You can talk to me about Ruth. He said, when Ruth told Naomi, where you go, I'm going. And where you die, I'm going to die. And where you're buried, I'm going to be buried. And your people will be my people. I want to hear it.
Yeah.
I can't hear it enough.
Yeah.
I can't hear it enough. I don't care what you preach. You preach the gospel to me. I don't need to hear nothing new. Ain't nothing new.
Amen.
You talking about the blind man on the side of the road? That was me.
Amen.
That was me on the side of the road. Jesus, Messiah, Son of David.
Amen.
It don't get old. It don't get old. It don't get old, do it? No, it don't get old. You talking about the rich fool? That's me.
Amen.
Preach on the rich fool. That's me. I see myself in that. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace, because I could have died a fool.
Yeah.
Talk about the rich man in hell. Preach it all day. Preach it in love, though. Preach it in love, but preach to me about hell. I want to hear about hell.
Yeah.
I want to hear about hell. I heard a preacher say, every once in a while, the preacher ought to preach like everybody going to hell. He ought to preach like everybody going to hell. Sometimes the preacher just needs to stop and just forget about everybody being saved. And preach like everybody in the church going to hell. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're a great church, rejoices in hearing the word of God. That's all they want to hear. They don't want to hear no junk. They don't want to hear no junk.
Amen.
They don't want to hear no junk. You get tired of junk.
Come on, man.
See, people hear junk, folk running around, circles running around. They get old after a while. Okay? They get old after a while. And you're talking about, well, you know, your blood pressure up, your diabetes, you know, you start getting a certain age. You know, you start counting the days. Okay? And I say, Deacon Oliver, you know, we ain't healing as fast as we used to.
Amen.
Okay? Some folk can die from that fall he took.
Amen.
You don't like to think about it. See, a great church is constantly taught and warned about false teachings.
Amen.
Oh, man. Oh, Pastor, there you go on that. Well, I'm just telling you what Paul said. Paul's telling the church, finding my brother. He said, beware. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. You know what Paul said? You know, let me tell y'all something. There's some folk out there with some tricked up, jacked up doctrines. Okay? And they Paul calls them dogs.
Wow.
Not me. Paul calls them dogs. He calls them beware of the dog. What's the dog? What's the dog do? We got I know Jill got Ruby. Somebody come toward the house. What Ruby do? Look up on that window. Barking, letting somebody know somebody coming. Keep away. What a dog do? Keep people away. Maybe not from church, because a lot of folks like dog messages.
Wow.
Okay? They don't keep you away from church, because folks gather. The church is full when a preacher preaching dog messages. Folks, the church is full.
Come on now.
See, the dog message, not to keep people away from church, keep them away from the heaven.
Amen.
Pastor, you know, back that up in the scripture. Oh, I got one. You better believe it. I know somebody say, well, you know, that don't sound right. You know, listen, there's some dog messages out there. You know what a dog message is? It's a message about the pastor and about what we do and what we doing and what we did. Let me tell you what Jesus said in Matthew 7:22. Oh, you better turn. Don't let no pastor have you telling you something and give you a scripture. You better turn. Somebody say turn or burn. You need to know some stuff.
Amen.
You can't die without knowing some stuff.
Amen.
Folk dying and not knowing the Lord. That's not good. Here's what Jesus said to these folks that was coming to him in the last day. And they was standing before God in judgment. And he said, many will say unto me in that day. Matthew 7:22. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. So what's the problem with that? Sound good to the dog messengers. You know, it sound good, but you know what they're not talking about? What Jesus done. It's not important what we do. It's what Jesus done. Let me talk to me about what Jesus done. That's why we talk so much about the death, burial, and resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
John 3:16. Knew it was coming. Somebody said, I knew it was coming. He can't get through a sermon without John 3:16. Well, I probably won't. Okay?
Amen.
So you be out somewhere and somebody put up a 3:16 sign, you're going to think about me. Pastor 3:16. For God so loved the world. This is what they should have been saying when they stand before the Lord. This is what you have to understand. For God so loved the world.
Well,
that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what God want to hear on the last day. He don't want to hear what you've done. You ain't done nothing.
Amen.
You ain't done nothing. You run around here all you want. You can cook up some of the best cakes and pies and meatballs and whatever. You know what God going to say? Nothing. He going to say, talk to me about my son. Talk to me about my son. Talk to me about my son. You know why? We don't talk about the Lord. He said, we full of stuff. This old heart need replacing. See, we can't take this old heart to the Lord. We need a new heart. We need a new heart. Well, back in the Old Testament, Ezekiel was talking about it in 36:26. He says this. He said, a new heart also will I give you. Have you got your new heart? Are you sitting here today? You don't know if you had a new heart. Ain't nobody ever had heart surgery not forgotten. Okay? No, you got the scar. You got the scar, man. I see people with the scar. You tell me you have heart surgery. You got the scars. There's evidence that you have had heart surgery. I'm going to give you that evidence in a minute. Let me read this scripture to you. Listen. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. You know something taking out your flesh. Okay? And I will give you in heart of flesh. Now, how do I know I got a heart of flesh? I'm spiritual. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship God.
Wow.
We're going to worship God. When you get a new heart, you're going to worship God. And worship, listen, let me say, we got a bad idea of what worship is. Okay?
Amen.
Worship ain't running. Okay? Worship always got a cost. We talked about last week in Genesis. Abraham took Isaac to the mountain and he was going to kill him. He knew he had to kill him. He knew God wanted him to kill his son. And he told the lad, you stay down here while me and Isaac go up to the mountain and worship. Let me tell you something, folks. Hey, what's your worship costing you? What's your worship? It's got to have a cost to it. Let me tell you what else. You're going to know if you got a new heart. You're going to rejoice in the Lord. You're going to rejoice in the Lord. You're going to love to hear the word of God sing. You're going to love to hear the word of God read. You're going to turn on your radio and you're going to have Christian music on and Christian singing on. And you just want to be in the presence of God all the time. That's what that new heart do. Or that new heart. That new heart wants to be in the presence of God. It wants to be in the presence of God. And that new heart will know when it's not. That new heart will know God ain't in this. God not in this. That new heart will speak to you. You'll have hope. You'll have hope. You'll have hope. You won't worry about what's going on in this world. Because you know what? We just pilgrims. Passing through. Listen, this world going right away. But you know what? We just pilgrims passing through. Because our hope is in his return. You know what? You're going to rejoice in the fact. I heard a preacher years ago tell me, you know, he said, well, Christmas, you know, we're not going to have Sunday school for the month of December because that message is old. He told me that. And I looked at Cindy and we looked at each other like, wow. And that was God saying, you need get out. Get out. Let me tell you something. The incarnation never get old. Okay? Christmas never get old. The fact that Jesus was born of a virgin and died never gets old. Never gets old. The blood never gets old. His grace never gets old. We're going to rejoice. You got a new heart. All that stuff. Like, ooh, that feels so good in my heart. You know, that feels so good in my heart. You ought to feel like you're getting stronger. But Pastor, why so many folks? Why so many folks don't get it? Why so many folks can sit in mess? Why? Let me take you to Isaiah 56. Yeah. See, you got to be sure. And I know I got some folks here. And they'll call me. Let me tell you something. Y'all Sunday school teachers, I don't need to be in there. I got some undercover agents up in there. Okay? I got some folks undercover. And I call them up. I say, what's up? What's happening with Sunday school? How Minister Brian doing in there? How Dave Dunleavy doing? How you teaching? You know? Make sure you're on the word. Because we accountable. Yes, sir. And I'm accountable. So I put these folks in there in these positions to teach the people of God. And they got to be ready. Amen. They got to be trained and ready and faithful and committed. His watchmen. Isaiah 56:10. Watch this now. People say, well, how people get so messed up? Why is the church so messed up? And believe me, the church is messed up. Okay, I know y'all know, like you're hearing that, but the church messed up. Okay? There's some stuff going on in the churches that y'all know should not be going on. Okay? And I talk to folks, and I talk to a lot of folks, go to churches and talk to a young man yesterday at the gym. And I've been knowing him since he was young coming to the gym. And he asked me, and I was telling him this Sunday school class this morning, he asked me a question. That I'm sitting here, why would he even ask me that? But I know the church is messed up. And he said, are you still a pastor? And I'm like, can I stop being one? Can I just resign? Can I just retire? Can I just say I had enough? No. Then he started talking to me, and he said to me, you know, he's talking to me about his father, who's a pastor. His father's a pastor. And he's telling me, me and my father don't get along. We don't speak. I said, are your mother and father still together? He said, no. He said, no. He said, my father had me out of wedlock when he was a pastor. And I'm sitting here like, and he don't want to have nothing to do with me. I reach out to the man. He don't even want to talk to me. He don't even want to acknowledge me. This man's 26 years old. And the church messed up. Amen. See, and why is it messed up? Here's why, because Isaiah 56:10 said his watchmen, preachers, are blind. Don't see nothing. They don't see the scriptures properly. They are all ignorant. This is Isaiah's. This is the prophet. This ain't me. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Now what use is having a watchdog that can't bark? Well, what's it going to do? Somebody robbing you and the dog can't bark. Well, or blind. They don't have a blind watchdog. You can't have a blind watchdog. They sleeping, tired all the time. We talk about this more active Christians, full of energy. The man of God ought to be full of energy. You ought to be sitting here like, I don't know how you do it, preacher. I don't know how you do it. You can't operate. You can't do this on your own power. Amen. You can't stand up here and preach on your own power. I sit here and I listen to these young preachers. They come up here and preach on Friday and they say, well, I ain't got nothing. Good. I know that's good. I'm confused. Good. You ought to be. You come up here. You come up here feeling good. You're going to leave feeling bad. You ought to come up here feeling bad.
Well,
and then you ought to leave feeling bad. You ought to come up here like, man, I tore it up. Man, I know somebody got saved today. They just didn't want to come down here.
Wow.
Now, when you leave here, when I leave here, Satan get right on you.
Amen.
Man, you jacked up. You should quit today. That was the worst message you have ever preached.
Wow.
And if that's not happening, something wrong.
Amen.
You leave here feeling good. You messed up. Listen, let me keep going. So I'm describing preachers you guys know. And I pray to God. I pray to God. Y'all pray for me. I do this constantly because I have to preach to myself.
Yeah.
See? I had to preach to myself. I said, well, you know, Pastor, you know what? Well, you can fall in that. I understand. The Bible says, let a man take heed of himself, lest he fall. Listen, I'm not infallible. I know I can fall because I'm in this flesh. Oh, but I just count on the Lord. That's why I told you, like I said last week, boy, I try to preach big. I preach big. I need a big God. I don't know about y'all, but I need a big God.
Amen.
Because if a God can't keep me faithful, then he ain't worth being my God.
Amen.
He's just a man. No, that ain't good enough for me. Well, he's just a man, Pastor. You know, he's just a man. No, he ain't just a man. When God called him, he's a spirit-filled, super powerful man. He ain't power enough. If God ain't powerful enough to keep him faithful to his wife and to his family and to his church. Yeah, they are greedy dogs. Greedy dogs. They which never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Watch this now. This is a key verse. This is the key verse. Hear this, Columbus. Come ye, say they. Come ye, say they. Come on. I will fetch wine and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. You know what they preaching? A feel-good message.
Wow.
You know? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, take care of yourself. Let's have a good time now. Don't worry about that. See, a lot of folks flock to that. They don't want a message that's going to call them out. I tell you all the time, I thank God for the man called me out. Okay? Because, you know, Claire ain't here, but y'all know I was sinking deep in sin. Far. Far from this peaceful shore. But the master of the sea. I don't know if you heard or not, but he's rescued me. Because I really don't think I want to be rescued. Oh, come on now. A great church. I like that. A great church is filled. Here we go. Filled with Christians who are done with the former life. You know what? Done with the former life. I done heard some testimonies from folks that it almost sound like they want to go back. You know, when I was out there, man, I was banging, man. I was chasing women. I had women over here. I don't want to hear all that about your testimony. Okay? I ain't telling y'all nothing. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Now, that's all y'all getting.
Come on now.
Any more is trouble. Because see, saved folks, throw your testimony back up in your face. You got to be careful who you give your testimony to. Everybody don't need to hear it. Okay? Look at Philippians 3, verses 4. And they confess that the former life, Paul said, my former life. Watch what he said. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse than a person who got confidence in the flesh. Okay? See, we live in a world right now. Everybody got confidence in the flesh. Let me tell you something. Ain't nobody flesh going to save you but Jesus' flesh.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. Ain't nobody flesh saving you but Jesus' flesh. And if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, Paul said, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day, on the eighth day. And he had a perfect circumcision. Paul, people was of the stock of Israel. The very best of the tribe of Benjamin. Remember Isaac only had two sons. Okay? Of the stock. Of Benjamin, excuse me, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Did I get the, somebody gonna check me on that one? Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. How about that? Persecuting the church, touching the righteousness of the law, which is blameless. Watch this now. This is what happens when you come to the Lord. But what things were gained to me?
Well.
Okay, I count it loss for Christ. You see, Paul realized his power didn't mean nothing. His flesh didn't mean nothing. All the prestige didn't mean nothing. Paul says it is all what? Dumb. Dumb. Waste. Refuse. Stuff that you have, you don't want to be near. Paul didn't want to be near that no more because he come to the saving knowledge of Christ. He understood what Christ has done for him and all that other stuff. Worthless. See, when Nicodemus came to Jesus that night, he was telling Nicodemus the same thing. He said, Nicodemus, you need to start over, bro. All that Judaism, all that stuff you know about God without Jesus, you need to start over. You need to reformat and start over. And Nicodemus said, that's going to be a problem for me. I'm a big shot. So, a great church will have great members. Now think about this one. We understand the cost of a personal relationship. I think about this one. I throw the marriage in here on this one. See, when a man says to his woman, "I want you to be my wife," you know what he's saying? There's no more dating. You the last woman I'm ever going to kiss. I'll never hold another woman's hand. It's all over. See? See, ain't a whole lot of preachers going to preach that. But that's the truth. I tell you all the time. Y'all see me out to dinner somewhere and I'm with another woman and ain't sitting. You better come over there and check. She might have holding a gun under the table. Come check me out. Come over there. Who is this, Pastor? Who is this? Don't just be like, the pastor over there. Looking like I got another. I could be being held hostage. Y'all be like, I seen the pastor with another woman. Pastor, they got a ransom up for the pastor. They didn't cut off his ear. Y'all walking around, oh, pastor cheating. Pastor ain't cheating. I bring it down. I want to make sense. But when you know what? Listen, if you ain't tired of dating, don't get married. If you ain't tired of chasing women, don't get married. If you ain't tired of, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Okay. You do marriage counseling. That first one with marriage counseling 101. That's what they told me when I was in the seminary. They say, listen. If you got a problem with women, if you got a problem with women, that's what they tell you in the first class. Ministry 101. I'm serious, Deacon Oliver. If you got a problem with women, close the book and leave.
Well,
that's just the truth. So there's a personal cost to follow Christ. Okay? Paul says this. He takes it a step further in verse number 8. Let me read this now. Verse 7 and 8. This is important. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Now watch this. Yea, doubtless. Now he throws a word in there. Doubtless. What's doubtless mean? Because I can't keep on. No doubt, without question. Doubtless, he said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, who I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Amen. See, we lose focus. When you come to the Lord, let me tell you something. Birthrights and tradition and inheritance and community, all these relationships and all your duties, all that stuff gonna struggle. All that stuff gonna struggle. You sit here and think you can bring all that mess with you. You know what? Your family may be the first to have to go. And I thought, blood thicker than mud. Blood thicker. No, let me tell you something, folks. Your family can be the vehicle Satan used to take you off course.
Yeah.
We get too caught up in family. You know, you're so wrapped up in. You don't know what your family gonna do. You don't know what your kids gonna do.
Well.
You don't know what you can bring them up. You can bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But you know what? You can bring them up in a Christian church all their life. Next thing you know, they Rastafarians. Yeah, I know. I talk to them all the time. I brought up a Christian home. The next thing you know, they doing what they only think. You don't know what they're going to do. Know who you know? You know who you know? Do you know the only person you know what they're going to do is? Whew. Thank you, Jake.
Well, amen.
That's God. God is the only person you can fully know. You know why? God don't change.
Amen.
God don't change. Kids change. They change. You know, I can sit here and say, I don't believe Cindy would do something like that. But I can't say I know Cindy wouldn't do nothing like that. Okay? You follow me? I know what God does. I know what God. I know what I can know God. And I know what he's going to do. Why not? Because his word don't change. People may try to change it, but God's word don't change. Okay? God's word don't change. Let me tell you something. We changing it. We changing it. And we change it based on what's popular in the world. Okay? What's popular in the world. You know what? When God called a man to preach, he called a man to preach. He called a man to preach. He said he must be. That was the word God said. Now the women rights movement and all that, you know, and that's one of them preachers that believe that Bible. What else I'm supposed to believe? The word of God said, man must be, a pastor must be the husband of one wife.
Amen. Well, come on now.
That ain't changed.
No.
That ain't changed. So we get caught up. God called me to preach. He ain't called me to be the next civil rights leader. He ain't called me to get involved in politics. And he didn't call me to get involved in community service. You know, I can't be in the lodge, in the sports, and Super Bowl Sunday. Well, Super Bowl Sunday, I can't.
Amen.
He ain't called me to be involved in fracking and environmentalists. He called me to preach.
Amen.
So we in all kind of stuff. And you know what? His watchmen are blind. So you get caught up in so much stuff. You can't stay focused. And that was the problem with the church. Let me tell you something. And I say this all the time because people try to, you know, I watch it on the news and these politicians, they come into the church. They come into the church and stuff. And they want the church to promote them and all that stuff. You know, let me say, I'll talk to you about politics on the outside here. You know, and I think some of y'all know my political views. Okay? But not here. Okay? Not here. Watch this now. Paul had that problem. It was politics in Paul's day. Okay? Watch what Paul said. Watch what Paul says. He said, and our brother, y'all know this, 1 Corinthians 2. And our brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Why did Paul have to do that? Paul said, listen. For I determined. Okay? Determined. Not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You won't see me out marching.
Amen.
All right?
Well,
I'm not going to be out there with Black Lives Matter and you know, because they won't want to hear. You know what I'm going to tell them? They need the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. They need Jesus. They need the Lord. And they're going to, you know, we don't want to hear that. Okay? See? I wear this collar to work on my job as a chaplain at the prison I work at. You know what? I don't get invited to none of these committees and stuff. You know why? Because they don't want. If I didn't wear this collar, they would invite me.
Uh-huh.
But they don't want. He got the collar on. It's like this. Collar on. No, I got the collar on because I represent. I don't get caught up in a lot of stuff. I want to stay focused, and it's hard to stay focused. It's hard. It's difficult. But Paul said that the man of God must be determined. He must be determined not to know anything among you save what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let me keep going with this for a minute. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Watch this. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Why? Why did Paul realize? Why did Paul have to stay determined to preach Christ? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. That's so important. Amen. Folks, faith in man. Folks, faith in Donald Trump. Folks, faith in Hillary. Folks, knocking out windows and rioting. Folks, just listen. Donald Trump ain't saving you.
Amen.
Obama ain't saving you.
Amen.
Hillary ain't saving you.
Amen.
Thomas Jefferson ain't saving you. Okay? Only God can save you.
Amen.
Only God can save you. Only God can save you. Well, what's in it for me then? What's in it for me? I mean, you talking all this big talk. What's in it for me? Salvation is all you get out of this.
Amen.
See, a lot of folks come to ministry now. How much can I make? That's why we got that radio over there. Okay? Got the little musicians come here and they want to know, well, how much can I make? You can get saved. If you save, you don't need nothing. You're going to pray. You're going to play that organ to the glory of God. Well, you know, I got to get paid. And there's preachers paying all the church's money to musicians. You know? And the church bringing in $2,000 a week. And $1,000 go to the preacher. $300-$400 go to the musician. $200 to the drummer. And every time the truck tire flat, they got to sell chicken dinners. What's in it for me? I know. See, in Luke 9, I'm about to close. In Luke 9, 57, a lot of folks want to follow the Lord. A lot of folks want to follow the Lord because they think they're getting something out of it. You know what? You're going to get something out of it. You're going to get salvation. You follow the Lord, you're going to get salvation. There ain't nothing. You can't put a price on that. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, well, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head.
Amen.
Whole lot of folk ain't going to bother with you. You get to follow the Lord, you ain't gonna be welcome everywhere.
Amen.
Folk ain't gonna have a warm bed for you.
Amen.
They don't want you to see what they're doing and what they're watching.
Uh-huh.
They don't want you to open up their refrigerator. And he said to another, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. See, discipleship, following the Lord, being a man of God, cost you something. It's strict. Can't put it off. I can't put it off. You know, I have preachers telling me all the time, I need a vacation. Take some days off. You know, take you a Sunday sick day. Sickness is waiting for me. But while I'm healthy and strong, I'm going to be here.
Amen.
See, Cindy got a standard answer for him. Because they always come. We're going on a cruise. We're going on a vacation, you know. When you're going to be there? Well, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Well, you know, Keith ain't missing church.
Amen.
That's what she tell him. You know, Keith ain't missing church.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, Keith ain't missing church. Well, Keith ain't missing church. Okay? Not to hang around a bunch of heathens. Not to send these folks as heathens. But they don't talk to me like I like to be talked to. See, I like to talk about the Lord all the time. And folks don't want to be around folks who like to talk about the Lord all the time. Let me close. Great church.
Well,
I like this one. Full of winners. 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 We won.
Amen.
We won. We got everything we need. Okay? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We winners. We winners. David was a champion. David was a champion. And he was a winner. He'd been through some stuff. David went through some stuff, folks. Okay. Well, watch what David said on Sunday morning. David said this in Psalms 122. This got to be us. It can't be just me. It can't be just me. David said this when the alarm clock went off. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord. He was glad that it was Sunday. He was glad that it was Wednesday. He was glad, oh, it's Friday. Who preaches? Don't matter. I'm going to the house of the Lord. The word of God is going to be preached. And Minister Bryant might have some chicken wings. But the word of God is going to be preached. I can't wait to hear from what the Lord says. Amen. You know, a great church is full of winners. But you know what? A not so great church is full of losers, complainers, bad attitudes, unhappy, miserable, gloomy, depressed folks. See, depressed folks come to church. You go to the locker room next week. New England playing Atlanta. Go in the locker room after the game. You will know immediately who won the game. Okay? You will know immediately who won the game. See, when you come to God's house, you ought to know. You know, these folks are winners up in here. Winners up in here. And I don't mean because you hopping all around. Okay, I mean, because you didn't hear the word, and it's just flowing up out of you, and the glow, that Shekinah glory is on you, and nothing's going to stop you from praising the Lord and worshiping God. Amen. Every day. Amen. We see you at the mall. I see you at Aldi's. I see you at Save-A-Lot. Like, wherever I see you, I'm glory to God. Amen. Look at him. Praising the Lord. Because God has been good to the man of God. God has been good to the woman of God. If God saved you, what more can you ask for? What more can you ask for? Listen. 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 Great church. Got a great word. Got a great word. Let me just read this. I may be in Philippians next week. But let me read a couple of verses. And I'm just going to read them because they just. Verse number 9. Verse number 9, Paul's telling these Philippian believers, be found in him.
Yeah.
Be found in him. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having thy own righteousness. That's important. Your own righteousness is. Whew. Then he says, but that which is through faith in Christ and the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul says to the Philippians, you guys are doing some great things. But one of the great things that you do, you have joy. And you'll see the absence of it.
Come on now.
And if you don't have joy in your life, it ain't because you got a bad wife. A bad wife can't stop you from having joy.
Well.
A bad husband can't stop you from having joy.
Well.
Bad children. Bad children can't stop you from having joy. Okay? You know why? Y'all sang it. Just joy I have. The world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. So if you hear and you don't have joy, it's because you don't have the Lord in his proper place in your life. Okay? Because joy comes from the Lord. And the world can't touch it. Happiness comes from the world. And the world can touch it. And touch your stuff and you ain't happy. Okay? Run into your car, you ain't happy. Break your wrist, you're not happy. You hurting, huh? You said, oh yeah, right?
You're right.
All right. Thought I heard an H in there.